Hello again, everybody. I'm Jeff Joniak, and welcome to Bears Roundtable from the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall. I'm Jeff Joniak, my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM, the great Tom Thayer. We have Larry Mayer, the senior writer for ChicagoBears.com and from CSNChicago.com, our special guest this week, John Moon Mullen. Glad you can find your way to Halas Hall once again.
Don't start with me. Don't make me come over there.
We can get off on the right foot with that. All right, what a great comeback against the San Francisco 49ers in Santa Clara. Bears down 17, get a late touchdown before the break, and then kick it in gear in the second half. I just thought it was great in terms of how they did it. Not the fact that they did it, but how they went about doing it because of the situation they were in, Tom. Who knew if they were going to have a healthy or an even efficient Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery?
Right, but I think it's not a lot of fans really regretted watching the first half because a lot of messages I got that, hey, I turned the game off not to wake up to the next morning to find out that they won the game. So I think this is a rallying cry, not only for the team, but for the fans to support this team because Brandon Marshall inspired a whole locker room. He brought Alshon Jeffery with him and said, look, we're playing today because our team needs us. And then the examples of effort that he gave at the most critical moments in that game, it was inspiring.
Jay Cutler was dialed in. And if you go by the old cliche, if in your world of English diction is proper, it's darkest before the dawn, right? Because that's what it looked like in the early going.
Well, it was. And you know, I'm with you, Tom. I was getting tweets and all kinds of things. You know, wake me if they come back, which I did. But it was, you know, and what's the meaning of this? Where does it go from here? Which, you know, you can have a win like that and all of a sudden, you know, dump against the Jets. And you got the Packers coming up. You hope this means something long term. And talking with those guys in the locker room, this clearly, they felt this was a character statement. You know, there's a lot of statement games. This was a statement about themselves.
Moon and I have been covering the team both since 1992, and that was one of the most amazing games
I've
ever seen.
1902. Before they even were born. Right. Take a look at them for crying out loud.
No. Actually, he has a leather helmet, though.
No. You're just jealous you didn't see Red Grange play in person. But, no, I mean, think about the way they did it. It's one thing to go out there and beat the 49ers, but if you look at the offense, the first six possessions all resulted in punts. The first one got blocked. Then it was like flipping a switch. It was like that Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. Just flip the switch, four straight touchdowns. Three by Brandon Marshall. Jay Cutler played amazing. And the thing that I'm sure that we want to talk about, too, is the Bears defense finally played like the Bears defense again, like we're used to seeing. They made plays. They got after the quarterback. Kyle Fuller had a great game.
But you know what, with the Bears going out there early and being around that atmosphere a couple days, talking to a lot of people out there, it was almost how much they were going to beat the Bears by.
Yeah.
And
maybe
that message got through the heads of the Chicago Bears players going, look, we are getting so unrespected that it's not going to happen that way.
Well, I think the word amnesia is big, and head coach Mark Trestman has used that. And I think the blend of youth and experience on this roster right now, people want to poke at the 30 crowd, 30-plus crowd, but I think it's very advantageous. Those guys have amnesia. They can teach the young guys to have amnesia. Or maybe the young guys just are so brand spanking new, they don't get that. They're just focused on their job at hand, and that was the case in the second half with Kyle Fuller.
Well,
that kid played like a vet.
Well, and in the big picture, one of the things I was so impressed with Phil Emery, what he did with this roster, you know, he stocked it with some win-now guys, Jared Allen, Jeremiah Ratliff, the 30 crowd, who still have something and can play, Lamar Houston, bringing back D.J. Williams, Charles Tillman before his injury, and at the same time, he stocked the pipeline. Kyle Fuller, those two, you know, Will Sutton and Ego Ferguson. I thought played
Brock Vereen.
Yeah, Brock Vereen.
Brock Vereen comes in, hadn't played cornerback, gets coached up by John Hoke and teammates on the sideline. But the point is, not only are they built to win now, but I think Phil has done a nice job of stocking the pipeline, and you saw those guys could play. It's fine to draft guys. If they can't play, that's not so good.
I couldn't be more impressed, like I said before, with Kyle Fuller. I remember during the draft, Phil talked about why he wanted to pick him. He said he went down there, watched a game against Georgia Tech. He was busting through the A-gap between the center and the guard, disrupting running plays. He said, right at that moment, I knew I wanted the guy. And he carries himself like a six-year veteran.
He does, and from the moment he got here. And what I was impressed, looking back at the tape a second time, was, we can talk about the interceptions and the instincts. And
I know what you're going to say.
The tackling.
Yes.
The tackling, big time.
I'm glad you brought it up. That was the next thing I was going to say.
Physical and nasty.
It was more impressive than his interceptions were incredibly impressive because one was single coverage against the receiver that he had, and then his falling back off of his coverage in supporting the other receiver over the top of him.
Yep.
Those were impressive.